eyes to see in your spirit. Give us ears to hear you and a heart open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you one thing. One of the great things about preaching here is to have Father Don pray for you. And I really mean that. Father Don has just this gift of when he prays before you preach, of really just confirming and speaking into your heart and your life. And it's a real joy, a real gift. And it's something that I always look forward to. So, and I look forward to being here and hopefully sharing some things. It's been amazing. Even from this morning, we were praying back in the green parlor, and Don prayed for us there, and it was just that, you know, that God would just get us focused on the real deal, on who He is and what He wants to do. And then the words that most of you spoke were just really simple things, really simple, Gene, what you said. It's like, it's just that we have to get rid of the distractions and just press in. And so there was a lot of that this morning, and I think that's, hopefully I can convey a little bit of that, because that's kind of what this word is about. Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter, and so there's some scriptures that we have that are our readings that are Easter readings. They have to do with the resurrection power of God, and really all those things. When we talk about how we don't do anything in our own strength, what we mean is that we need to do it in the power of His might, and that He gives us. And because of the resurrection, we get to enter into that resurrection power. Also, this week is the feast day of the Ascension. We don't have a service for the Ascension. I wish we did. Especially some powerful readings. I would encourage you to do the readings from the feast day of the Ascension this week. And but it all ties in the resurrection. You know, after He was resurrected, He ascended. And so the word that I have today kind of brings both those things a little bit together. And I've used some passages from both of those days of today and the Ascension Day. And what I'm going to do is just the first scripture and the ending are from Ephesians, and those scriptures have to do with the Ascension. And then what we'll talk about in the middle of that is really how to live in His resurrection power. A very simple stuff that God just brings us back to, this simple way of life that He made possible by His resurrection power. So from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So setting that up, we're going to go now to 1 Peter chapter 3 and speak about this life, what that means to live the life that God made possible for us to live, and that he brought us into this place to where we can live in His resurrection power. And He explains some of that in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 8 reading this, and then just go through some very simple things that we find here in 1 Peter chapter 3. How many of you have... you don't have to lift up your hands. You've just been through some tough things. Yeah. Haven't we all? Well, you know what? The Bible says that if somebody does something to us and hurts us and causes pain in our life or does something we don't like, that, you know, he says he says just do the same thing back to them, right? Treat them just as bad as you feel like you've been treated.
Yeah.
Right? No, you know what though? How many times do we do that? That is what we want to do, and we actually think we have that right. Maybe I'm the only one. But that's how we do. But God has a way to respond to things, and that's why it's not just our way. It's not just, you know, we are such great people, and we were born such great people that we know how to respond correctly in every situation and every circumstance. No, God, by the power of his might, by his wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, opens our eyes so that then we can respond the way that Christ would have us to respond. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. I think that's the one I have the hardest time with. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Wow. I hope this ministers to you. I hope that somehow that there may be situations in your life. Some of them we're all sharing together. Some we have things that happen to us every single day in our life. And we need these words from the Lord in a way to respond. First, he said, be of one mind. You know, the scripture teaches us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When he says be of one mind, he doesn't mean for all of us just to get together and make a decision on how we would like to think together and come up with something that we get out of our own strength or out of our own mind or out of our own wisdom or out of our own intellect, out of all the, he wants us to have his mind when we're responding to situations. Let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Henry Nouwen said, one of the main tasks of theology is to find words that do not divide but unite, that do not create conflict but unity, that do not hurt but heal. This is the way Christ thinks. This is the way when we're worshiping him, like Gene was speaking of, and when we're just believing, when we're trusting in him, when we're hearing from him, when we're desiring to respond with his love, this is the way we think. It starts out being of one mind, getting out of our own ways, getting out of our own thoughts, getting out of our own ways that we respond. And then next, he said, have compassion for each other. Have compassion for each other. You know, once again, compassion is something that a lot of times we think, you know, especially in today's kind of social network world, that, wow, if we see somebody and they have a problem and they're going through something, we can go to Facebook and hit like, and we go, wow, I've really got compassion now. An author, Daniel Goleman, wrote, true compassion means not only feeling another's pain, but also being moved to help relieve it. not only feeling someone's pain, but being moved to help relieve their pain, engaging them. No, there's nothing wrong with Facebook or any of those things, but when you see that somebody, that there's a need, that there's a need for you to really be compassionate, that's the time to pick up the phone, or that's the time to go knock on the door and say, hey, I'm coming over, or I'm going to pray with you right now. I believe that God wants me to interact with you about this and help you relieve. What can I do to help relieve your pain? I love it in this church that we, one of the things that we do, and we do a lot of things well, but one of the things that we do is when people are sick and people have to go home and from the hospital, and they've got so many other things on their minds and their hearts, and you know, we make sure that the church comes together and takes meals to them. And you know what? There's more to just taking the meal. Then there's being able to be there with them. And there's that time you get to spend. Now, I think that God taught us something in this church so precious. And sometimes we just need to get back to this, and we need to be reminded of how powerful it was, you know, when we had Julia with us here in the earth. And she's here with us now. But when she was here with us on the earth, man, what an opportunity it was for all of us. And you know what? That defined who this church is. Our relationship with Julia, going over there, and we had the teams that were always, you know, bringing her to church. And we had the people that would go over there and minister to her, and people that would go over there and I started to say go over there and pray for her, but that would go over there and she would pray for us. Amen. This is that. What a great opportunity for that for us that was, and I believe that God was teaching us that is the way we respond. That's how we respond with compassion. You know, it wouldn't be enough. It really wasn't enough to go to Julia and say, Julia, you know what? We're really thankful for your life, and we're going to pray for you this Sunday. Boy, we're praying for you one day to be healed and come to church, and we'll see you next week. No, it was people that got together and said, no matter what, come, whatever, we're going to make sure you get to church. We're going to take you and we're going to put you in your van, and we're going to bring you to church, and you're going to be there worshiping and praising God with all of us. That's how you live out compassion. Not just feeling their pain, but also being moved to help relieve it. And then he said to love as brothers. Oh, and I'm sure we could say love as brothers and sisters. A minute ago when Jennifer said, Rick, hey, we're cousins, right? No, we're not brothers and sisters. It's what God calls us. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a big deal. We're family. This church is a family. Amen. This church is a family. I'm going to say it again. This church is a family. And I'm going to tell you what. We've been through hell. I'll just say it. We've been through hell a lot. We've had all kinds of things happen in this church, to this little parish. But I'm telling you what. I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight for this family. Every single one of you are worth fighting for. And it's not about who the pastor is or who the leaders are, who the council is. One day somebody said it in the church. I think it was Melissa Rubin said, this is the church. You're the church. We're the family. And that means something. Maya Angelou said, I don't believe an accident of birth makes people sisters or brothers. It makes them siblings. That gives them mutuality of parentage. Sisterhood and brotherhood is a condition people have to work at. People have to work at being brothers and sisters. You got to work at being a family. And except for those of you who have never disagreed with each other in your family, with your brothers or your sister or your wife or your... You know what? It's amazing that we live that life with our family. We live this life with our family, and we know we disagree. Now, Patty and I have never disagreed about anything, because I'm always right. But all of us, we disagree, and we fight. You know, we have little things, and that should never be a lot, but we fight. We all argue, and we disagree with each other. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're there, because we're family. Brothers, little brothers and sisters, kids, the kids. Man, if you've got kids that don't argue with each other or fight with each other, then you need to write a book. But we're family, so we stay together. But it's something you have to work at. Love, man, I tell you, we use that word so loosely, love. But love is really hard work. Next said, be tenderhearted. Be tenderhearted. That's another one that's tough for some of us. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said, just pray for a tough hide and a tender heart. The scripture says be tenderhearted. It doesn't say everybody's going to be tenderhearted to you. It doesn't say everybody's just going to be just so really kind and tenderhearted and sweet and nice to you all the time. That's why she said, pray for a tough hide and a tender heart. So when people are hard on you, when they've hurt you, when they've done things to you, that you can respond with a tender heart. And then he says, be courteous. Be courteous. And I was really thinking about that, because that's an old school term, courtesy. You know, we think of things like, and I really try to do this when I'm, you know, I travel and around people, and you know, I guess it's kind of weird, but you know, when a lady approaches a table where I am, we're eating dinner, I'll stand up. If I can, I'll open the door of a car. Those are kind of old school type things, but you know, they show something else. They may come from a long time ago, but they show something else that's in our heart. The author Fran Lebowitz wrote, courtesy in the old sense of the word is politeness of the heart and a gentleness of the spirit. And this is what I think God is talking about, just being courteous to people. Being courteous. But you know what? And it sounds, I mean, if we really tie these things together, what God is trying to say to us here, that shows the glory of God. That shows someone the power of God, because we don't always feel like, you know, we are not moved by our feelings, how we should treat people and the way we should act toward them. But it's the power of God. It's when the Holy Spirit goes, just corrects you and say, no, don't be upset. Don't be discourteous to that person. Be courteous. Be kind. Let your heart be polite. And then he says, be a blessing, so you will receive a blessing. Now, I just tell you, I like it when God says, you do something and something will happen. Sowing and reaping. Seed time and harvest. All those things, they keep going. That's the way God works. Be a blessing so you'll receive a blessing. That reminds me of Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. For the Lord has commanded a blessing, life forevermore. I want God's blessing. Amen. So we be a blessing. Be a blessing to someone. And you know what? You'll find somewhere along the way, God is going to, that'll be a blessing for you. Robert Mayo was talking about some things to me this morning and just said, man, God, the way that God has blessed him and blessed his family. But I can tell you, almost everyone in this church can say at some point in their life that Robert and Carmel and their family has been a blessing to you. And that hasn't gone unnoticed. God has blessed him, and God will bless you. Be a blessing so that you can receive a blessing. Don't speak evil or deceive. Don't speak evil or deceive. You know, there's nothing that hurts more at times, and there's nothing more that makes you want to bite back more than when you get deceived or when you feel betrayed. There's just nothing. It just hurts so bad. And you really want to do the same thing back. But he said, don't speak evil or deceive. Noel Coward, you know, many of you know the writer, he said, it's discouraging to think how many people are shocked by honesty and how few by deceit. And we live in a world today where, you know, if somebody's really honest, it's shocking. It's kind of like, wow. Boy, especially a politician. If you ever see an honest politician, Republican or Democrat, anybody, I would like to know about it. We're shocked when people are honest. But we're not really shocked when they deceive us. It's something that should be more common. And again, it's something because when we're deceived, we feel betrayed. And when we feel betrayed, we hurt. And what we want to do is, again, something back. But he ends it in saying, turn from evil and do good. Turn from evil and do good. I want to take just about 30 seconds right now, just right where you are. And I want you to just think about any of these things that we've talked about, where you know that you haven't done it right. You haven't responded right. I want you to take just a few seconds and talk to the Lord. You know, Lord, I know I didn't. I know I haven't been a blessing at times. I know I haven't been courteous. I know I've not been tenderhearted. I know I haven't walked in unity. And I need, Lord, for you to forgive me. I want to do good, not on my own strength, not on my own power, but it's because it's the way you do it. So can we just do that for just a few seconds and just bow our heads and pray. Just pray however it is you feel. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to think about that when we're doing confession in just a little while. And just, again, let that be in your head and your heart. And ask God. Don't ask God to do better. Ask God for the power and the strength through his resurrection to cause those things to be a part of your life. And then he says, seek peace and pursue it. I told you a couple years ago the word the Lord gave to me. A people who seek the purpose and the will of God are a people who will see the power and the strength of God. We look for the, when we're thinking about the power and the strength of God, I know we think sometimes of great healings and miracles, and praise God for those things. We long to see God move in mighty ways, but God moves in little tiny ways in our life every day, and that is the power of God. That is the strength of God. And when we seek peace and pursue it, when we seek the will of God and pursue God's will, then God will move, and he'll change our hearts, and he'll change the hearts of those who are around us. And I'm just going to close from Ephesians 1. Now back to the ascension passages. from Ephesians chapter 1, speaking about his mighty power. His mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He put all things. Say that with me. All things. Say it one more time. All things. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.